This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So I was reading The Star online just to get my daily fix of news when I saw this this column called Credit Card Myths Busted. And I noticed that it was written by one Mark Raymond.
My name is Mark Raymond. I'm originally from the Netherlands and I'm the co-founder and managing director of Compare Hero.
So in the column in The Star, Mark lists down misconceptions that people have about credit cards and then sets the record straight by explaining how credit cards actually work. And that's when I thought, most of us will own at least one credit card at some point in our lives, but we don't really know. I mean, like really, really know the mechanisms of the card or how it works and what we can do to prevent it from going from a sort of facility and even a privilege for some to a burden and a liability. So for this episode, we're going to focus on five of the most common myths and misconceptions about the credit card. And the five myths are, number one, a credit card is not a loan, true or false. Number two, retailers can stop you from using a credit card for small amounts. This is where you go to a store, you buy something for 20 bucks, and you ask them if you can use a credit card, and they say no, or they put a surcharge on the credit card usage. Can this be done or not, and is it even allowed? So Mark's going to talk about that. Then we'll move on to, there is only one credit card score. Is there or are there more? Mark Raymond will get into that a little later on in the show. Does having a credit card or loan make it easier for you to get more credit cards and loans in the future? And does not having a credit card actually hinder your chances? And then finally, we'll close up with debit or prepaid cards influence your approval chance. We'll talk about all that. We'll answer them and we'll straighten out all these questions within the next half an hour or so. This is Five for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj and special guest Mark Raymond, who is in the studio with me. And this episode is called Five Myths About Credit Cards Debunked.
Number one.
Okay, so we can start off with the first one. So the first myth is, it says a credit card is not a loan.
Yeah, that's true. And that's actually a myth. So if you look at it, actually a credit card is a very short-term loan. It's a very special loan, but it's still a loan. And basically every time you make a purchase with a credit card, the credit card company gives you a very short-term 0% interest loan for that amount because you only need to pay it later. In that sense, it's a special loan because it's 0% interest. But of course, as soon as you get the credit card bill and you see the amount of all the stuff that you've bought the previous month, then you're supposed to pay it within, let's say, 20 days. So that's the grace period. So you have an amount of time in which you can delay your payment without getting any interest charged. But once you cross that time frame, you'll be charged typically 15 or 18% per year automatically. So then you go from a very seductive 0% short-term interest short-term 0% interest loan to quite an expensive loan.
So how is this like standardized for all banks? Like do all banks have that same period, that seductive period you call it, or do some of them just apply interest from the beginning?
No bank applies interest from the beginning. So with every credit card, you can get the 0% interest free loan, so to speak. But the grace period, so the amount of time before your bill becomes due, does change a bit between banks. The majority of all the banks gives you 3 weeks, 20 days of grace period, but there are some that allow to extend it to like 60 days.
Okay. Since we're on the topic of loans, is it like, which is easier? Is it easier to apply for a loan at a bank or apply for a credit card at the bank? Because some people, let's say they can get a huge enough credit limit. Will they, you know, they can mistakenly use that as a loan because it works almost the same way. I mean, to the naked eye, to people out there, it works in almost like it has the same function. Let's say they have a credit limit of about 21,000 and they want to take a loan for 21,000 or 22,000 and they're rejected for the loan. Can they still get a credit card?
So typically it's slightly easier to get a credit card than a personal loan because with a credit card, you don't immediately use all the credit. And with a personal loan, you do. So typically you could apply for a credit card if you get rejected for a personal loan, but you'll have to keep in mind that a credit card is actually a very expensive way to mimic a personal loan, because a personal loan typically goes for, let's say, 8 to 12% per year of interest, and your standard credit card will go for 15 to 18%. So it's a very expensive alternative.
I see. Can we also touch on the subject, on the topic of if you are unable to pay off your credit card, your minimums, or let's say you come to a point where you're not able to pay your minimums for a certain amount of time, doesn't the bank convert the credit card into a loan then?
Yeah, so then basically you're right. Then it's called a loan. It means you'll carry a balance on your credit card, which basically means there's an outstanding balance which the bank asks you to pay for. And if you're not paying for that, then it basically means that the bank is loaning that amount to you. And they're charging, as I mentioned, 15 or 18% typically of interest on a yearly basis for that kindness.
Wow. So it's a very high interest loan, basically, the card.
Yes.
Okay.
So a credit card works best if you want to have an alternative to cash. You know, your purchases are insured. If you're abroad and maybe you don't have cash with you, then it works perfect. But if you, let's say you want to buy a car, or you have another investment which is more longer term, and you know that you won't be able to pay out that amount whenever the bill comes and the amount is due, then I would suggest to try and apply for a personal loan rather than a credit card.
Number two.
So moving on to the second one, there's also the belief that retailers can stop you from using a credit card for a small amount. So this is where I think when you go to some shops and then you buy something for like 20 ringgit and then they say there's a minimum of 50. So they kind of, they discourage you from buying smaller amounts, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it happens all the time, right? Whether you're at like your Loyal Plaza or you're in a bakery shop. What a retailer does is either say, you know, under 50 ringgit, you can't use a credit card, or they're going to ask for some extra, like an extra charge or an
extra
fee.
Like a 2% kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. And this is a very pervasive myth because retailers do it all the time, right? So it makes sense that people in the end actually think that they're allowed to do it. But if you would look at the contracts that the retailers have with the credit card companies and the banks, they're actually not allowed to prohibit customers from using their credit card for small amounts.
Meaning that if they have like the Visa or MasterCard facility, they should be able to allow us to buy for any amount, even if it's 5 ringgit, 7 ringgit. They cannot put a restriction on how much we should. They shouldn't put a minimum on how much we can buy.
Yeah, they're contractually not allowed to do that. But of course, it happens all the time, right? It makes sense from the banks and the credit card companies to also encourage to have consumers pay for small amounts with credit cards, because mm-hmm. all those small amounts in the end up to huge transactions amounts. But for a retailer, sometimes the cost, which is typically a percentage of the transaction amount, doesn't weigh up to the profit margin that they're making on, you know, a coffee or a couple of loaves of bread or something. So that's why the retailers are typically not a fan of it. And even though they're not allowed, they are typically quite able to convince customers just to pay with cash.
Cash instead. Are they allowed to do that? You say that they are not, there are restrictions in their contracts, but is there like a governing body that actually doesn't allow them to pay to charge an extra percent if you use a card?
Yeah, so what you could do is report the retailer to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So typically if you'll pay with your credit card, you'll notice that there's a bank symbol on your credit card receipt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's typically not the logo of the bank that you're banking with, but it's the logo of the bank that provides the credit card terminal to the retailer, because the retailer needs to get like the connection to the payment infrastructure from a bank. So maybe, you know, I'll have a Maybank card, I'll pay, but I'll see an RHB or a public bank logo on it. So I could report that retailer then to that bank and inform them that retailer is not sticking to their contractual obligations.
Okay. Since we're there, like if for customers, we can apply for credit cards for individual people. Is there also like a criteria that retailers have to meet for them to have credit card facilities? Because you go to some like restaurants and then you see that they don't have the credit card machines or the credit card devices, and you wonder why, because they are quite well-to-do restaurants. They have a lot of customers. So what is there like a criteria that they're not meeting, or why wouldn't the bank allow them to have this facility?
So I think the banks would love to have credit card terminals also in those restaurants because they're making money on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But especially with more popular restaurants, if they know that their restaurant is going to be full and people are going to pay with cash anyway, they rather have people paying cash rather than credit cards, because whenever people pay with credit cards, the retailer has to pay a small percentage to the credit card company and the bank that provides the terminal. So it costs them a little bit extra compared to cash. So that's why some retailers rather not get it, even if they would be applicable to get them.
We are talking about credit card myths and misconceptions and debunking them with Mark Raymond, Managing Director of Compare Hero. Be sure to check out their site at comparehero.my. We'll be back with more after this super quick break. Five for Fortune on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Business, finance, and more. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Five for Fortune. I'm Arvind Yuvaraj, and in the studio with me is Mark Raymond, the MD of Compare Hero.
We're active in 7 countries throughout Southeast Asia. With Compare Hero in Malaysia, we compare personal loans and credit cards, basically all of them in the market, all of the banks. And that makes it super easy for people to see what's the cheapest personal loan, what's the best rewards, what's the best cashback credit card, either from all the banks or like within a bank, like which Maybank credit card should I get to maximize, let's say, air miles. And then you can apply as well to our site and typically get a nice welcome gift, which we offer to approved credit card holders as well.
We're actually picking and debunking some of the most common myths and misconceptions about credit cards. So before the break, we covered how a credit card is a type of loan, but it's a very unique one. And then we spoke about how retailers are not supposed to discourage you from using your credit card, even if it's for small amounts. Moving on, we'll cover, is there only one type of credit score? Does having a credit card or loan make it easier for you to get more credit cards and loans in the future? And if debit or prepaid cards influence your approval chance?
Number 3.
So the third one, you said there is only one credit card score, which is not true.
Nope. No, so a credit score is basically a number which reflects your financial health and which banks use to decide whether you should be approved or rejected for any personal finance product. So it could be a credit card, could be personal loan, could be a mortgage. And the most famous one is CCRIS, which is kind of the holy grail, which is operated by Bank Negara Malaysia, which keeps track of how many products you've applied for, your payment history, whether you've had any bankruptcies, whether you've been blacklisted by a bank. So that's a very big one. But then there's still 3 more private, commercially operated ones that are active in Malaysia. The biggest is CTOS, but you also have RAM credit information, and you have Credit Bureau Malaysia, which all collect information and then provide a type of credit score, which would help banks, but also other companies like telcos, to decide, should I extend credit to this customer, yes or no, based on their historic record.
But why so many bodies? I mean, if you have, when you can have like one that services all these other companies, right?
They all operate similarly, but they will all have their own sources of information and will slightly have a different way of calculating your credit score. And besides these companies, also every bank itself, when deciding to extend credits to a customer, will not only use CCRIS or maybe one of these other credit score agencies, but also all of the information that they have themselves. So, for example, your salary, the industry you work in, maybe the title that you have, the location of your home, whether you own your home, how long you've owned your home, whether you've had, you know, whether you have your savings with that bank, mm-hmm. how long you've been a customer. Basically, all the information that they can find, they'll try to take into account when deciding, should we extend a credit card or a personal loan to this customer or not?
Okay, but let's say there's a telco company that goes for Secris, and they are using their service. Not telco company. Let's say there's Bank A uses Secris. You go to Bank A, you apply for a credit card, you get rejected because your Secris record isn't favorable, and then you go to Bank B and they're using CTOS. Could you get a credit card with CTOS if their record is not as stringent as Secris? These are just like examples, not like Secris and CTOS specifically, but what if they have a more lax way of looking at your record?
Yes, they can, but that's mostly because banks have different levels of risk appetite. So some international banks are less risk-seeking, and some local banks have a little bit more appetite for risk, which means that they have different levels of interest in accepting or rejecting customers. So maybe some customers who earn, let's say, 3,000 ringgit but already have maybe 800 ringgit in monthly commitments are rejected by one bank, let's say Standard Chartered, but they're accepted by, let's say, RHB. Mm-hmm. So that depends on how much risk is a bank willing to take itself. And that can change between banks, but also between times. So let's say we go into a recession, then all the banks become more risk averse. So the percentage of rejections will definitely increase. Generally, the international banks are a little bit more risk averse, and they're looking for people with a higher salary and lower earlier financial commitments than the local banks. But besides that, it really depends also on what is the bank looking for, and whether a bank will accept you might also depend on your personal situation, as I said, whether you own a home or whether you live in, you know, East Malaysia or in the peninsula, or 20 other variables that could influence that.
There's a couple of things that people can do to not get on any of these records, right? So what? Just say I have a credit card. How do I make sure that I don't end up on any of these guys' lists?
No, so they're not blacklists, right? So you'll probably be on it, but that's not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, that's a good thing, because if the banks wouldn't have a list or a credit score from you, they wouldn't have any basis to make a decision, and they would probably reject you. So that's why it's really important, actually, to have some type of credit score and a credit history, so that banks can look back in history and see whether you've paid your dues on time and whether you didn't apply for 5 credit cards at the same time. And if they think, you know, that's trustworthy enough for them, they'll apply for you. So what you can do to make sure that your credit score is a good one, and your credit history and all these different companies looks good, is first off, make sure you pay your debts in time, whether it's a personal loan or mortgage, a car loan or credit card. Just make sure you pay in time, at least a minimum amount. Make sure that your debt utilization is not too high. So let's say you have a credit card where the maximum credit limit is, let's say, 20,000 ringgit. It's much better if you only carry a balance of 3,000 or 4,000 than if you are maxed out with 19,000. Because then if you apply for another credit card, the bank might start to get a bit scared and think, you know, he's going to max out the next credit card as well. And am I ever going to get my money back?
Let's say someone ends up on the blacklist. Let's say they're in Secris. Secris labels them as they haven't been paying well. They end up on a blacklist for whatever reason. How easy is it to get off the blacklist? What do you have to do?
So the good thing is that, for example, Secris only looks back in the past 12 months. So eventually your sins will be forgotten and will be
abolished.
But it does mean that you'll need to show that you are improving your payment history and your financial behavior. So if in the past you've made some mistakes, maybe even had, you know, have faced bankruptcy or needed to consolidate debts. It's not the end of the world, but you do need to make sure that you try to become a better paymaster. And as soon as your record starts to clean up, your chances of approval for financial products will go up again. And I think especially for those people who are not financially savvy and would like to max out with, you know, three different credit cards because they can't get that financial loan, that personal loan, and they do want that car, that it's good that there's banks that are a bit averse for risk and that there's credit scores which keep track of your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe in the short term it sucks if you get rejected, but maybe in the longer term that's better for you, where you end up financially.
Yeah, because based on your spending habits, maybe you cannot actually afford that loan, and these are the bodies that tell you that.
Yeah, and if you know another credit product would be given to you, maybe that would work in the first 2 or 3 months, but then in the end you'll drown in debt and you'll go into bankruptcy. And that's one of the reasons why banks will reject it if they think it's too risky, not just for them, but also for yourself.
I'm speaking with Mark Raymond of Compare Hero, and he's helping me debunk some of the most pretty common myths and misconceptions about credit cards. Stick around, we'll be right back. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
And we are back on 5 for Fortune with Arvind Yuvaraj and special guest Mark Raymond of Compare Hero. We are asking, answering and debunking myths and common misconceptions about credit cards. And so far, I've learned so much, a lot of things that I didn't know about my credit card before.
Number 4.
So moving on to the fourth one, it says it is better for you to care to for your score or future approvals to keep a bit of balance on your credit card. So I think I've heard this before where people say it's always good to have some kind of credit card balance so that if you're applying for another loan or if you're going to buy a car, so they can see what you've been doing with your credit card and your finances. Is this true or false?
Well, the way you say it is absolutely true. So it makes a lot of sense to have a credit history so that banks can look back at your history. But for that, you just need a credit card, you know, have even one transaction a month is enough. And it's perfectly fine if you pay that transaction, you know, the total amount of the credit card bill in full every month so that there's no debt. You'll never pay any interest charges on your credit card ever. That's already good enough for banks to establish a credit history. But there's also people that believe that in order to get approved for another credit card or another financial product, you not only need to have a credit card and use it, but also keep a certain balance on the credit card, which means not pay your credit card bills in full, but maybe keep 2 or 3,000 ringgit on your card, which means you'll start paying interest on that just to get approved for the next product. And that's false. The only thing that will help with that is giving the banks a bit of interest income on you, but it won't help you with your next application.
So meaning that if you have a credit card, I mean, if it's easier for someone who has a credit card to get a future loan or to apply for, let's say, a car loan, than it is for someone who has no credit card.
Yeah. And especially if you don't have a credit card, you don't have a personal loan, you don't have PTPTN, you don't have any credit history whatsoever, then it becomes quite hard for banks because they don't have any information to base their decision on. And in the case that they don't have information, they will reject you. So it's quite easy if you're, let's say, if you're a fresh graduate, banks will understand that you don't have a whole credit history and it'll be relatively easy to apply for a credit card. But let's say if you're 35 or 40 years old and you don't have any credit history, it's actually very difficult to apply for that first product. But as soon as you have one product and you build a credit history, it's much easier to get approved for another one because banks will have a history to look at and judge you based on that.
I've always never understood that, because if someone is, let's say they are so good with their finances that they've never needed a loan or credit card, or they've just managed their, they've managed their wallets pretty well up to the age of 35, then they want to like open a business and they need like funding, you know, like a little more money in their pocket to start the business. It's a bit counterintuitive.
It's right? Extremely counterintuitive, right?
Yeah.
And it also doesn't seem exactly fair, because as you say, the people that are really financial savvy and don't need credit cards or loans, which is great, are then the ones who get rejected when they try their first product. But the point is not so much that they're not good financial managers, but it's more that they can't prove it to the bank. The credit history is just there as the proof to show the bank that they can have debt and that they can pay it every month on time.
Number 5.
So moving on to the last myth, debit or prepaid cards influence your approval chance.
Yeah, so I just mentioned that banks will take pretty much anything into account when deciding whether to approve or reject you, right? Including where you live, the title, your age, your salary, everything. But debit and prepaid cards basically don't factor into that decision because they're both debit products, right? So you first need to put up money in both a debit and a prepaid card, and you can't take any credit out of it. It's not a debt instrument. And because of that, banks don't use it, because there's no payment that you need to make to the bank after a transaction, because you need to do it to charge, for example, your prepaid card, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no credit utilization or on-time payments or anything that you have with a normal credit card that banks can take into account when deciding to approve or reject you.
Okay, so anything, any kind of interaction that you have with the bank, or any kind of account that you have with the bank, is taken into account.
Yeah, if the, let's say you apply for a credit card with the same bank where you have your savings account, typically banks will look at that and they'll probably see your salary coming in every month, and they have much more information, right? So that makes it easier for them to understand whether you're a good credit card holder or not, and that typically makes it a bit easier for them to apply. But also, if they see that, you know, you have a lot of debts or anything, they'll also take that into account. I think it doesn't hurt to have a credit card. As I mentioned, some have actually, you know, nice benefits like rewards and cashback. And if it's a zero annual fee, you don't pay anything for it. It can also help because the purchase you make with it, especially overseas, are insured. And especially if you travel, it's a nice backup in case of emergency, when, you know, your bank account gets frozen or somehow your ATM doesn't work. It's nice to have some type of backup, but it's not a holy grail.
Yeah,
and you know, I would always use a credit card actually very similar as I use a debit card, in the sense that you should only spend money that you actually have, rather than using a credit card to spend money that you don't have yet and you first need to earn.
If you have a credit card or would like to apply for one, hopefully now you know a little more about the facility and how it works and how it impacts you. Thanks to Mark Raymond of Compare Hero, who has helped us debunk some of the most common misconceptions about these mysterious plastic forms of currency. Stick around for Enterprise Biz Bytes at noon. We've got some really good stories coming up about business and tech to keep you up to date. And also check out comparehero.my. It's pretty cool. This is Arvind Yuvaraj, and that was 5 for Fortune, BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.